Welcome to the Full Press Fantasy Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me at the current moment is one co-host, Alessandro Senator. How are you doing?
Doing good, Kyle. I am doing stuffingly good.
Oh yeah, it is Thanksgiving talk time today. Thursday games. And, this week, we're going to do a main game preview, rankings preview and stuff later on in the week, but this episode is going to be designated specifically for the Thursday games, and we're going to approach it from a DFS standpoint. So before we go any further, it's good to introduce the guest, Jared Good, also known as the Yeti DFS on Yeti Express DFS on Twitter. Jared, Yeti, however you want us to address you, we will, but appreciate you coming on and talking.
Absolutely happy to be here. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. And I mean, this slate right now on Thursday does look like it'll be fun to participate in. And we'll talk specifically from a DraftKings standpoint of view, but all formats will obviously have their Thanksgiving slates going with the three games. We've got the Houston Texans at Detroit Lions, Washington at the Dallas Cowboys, and the Baltimore Ravens at the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so before we get started, just a quick message and a quick shout out and maybe also a way to introduce people to DFS, specifically DraftKings, if they haven't yet. So Jeff Lambert, someone Jared and I know, worked at Going for Two. He's the big boss there. I've referenced him. We've had him on the show before.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah. Thank you. First off, thanks, Jeff, for putting on this contest. It's a free contest that people can join. And while entry is free, also encourage, hint, hint, strongly encourage to donate. There's a fight against addiction going on, specifically, is with the cause that he's raising for, raising money to combat drug addiction, I think specifically in his area. But of course, that proceeds anytime we can aid that fight anywhere. Yeah, it's incredibly important. So I know I've joined, I've donated. I believe, Jared, you're in there too.
I am, yep.
Obviously, and I mean, even if you don't want to play DFS and you just want to donate, feel free. There is a pinned tweet on the Full Press Coverage, or the Full Press Fantasy Pod account at @FPC_FantasyPod. Pin that, and that'll, within that, I'll link one of Jeff's tweets to the links to go and donate and where you sign up, because there is still time to sign up. I believe you'll take things until probably late Wednesday, so people still have a chance if they want to join. But certainly, if they want to donate, feel free to, of course, help out. So thanks for that. I just wanted to mention that and talk about that. And we're going to actually talk about that slate. So for anyone who is kind of using this as an introduction, because again, it's free, there's a chance to win prizes, championship trophies and such nature, and some valuable enough items. I know Jeff always usually puts one on for week one, and I came close this year, and I'm hoping to get something, win something here at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, those trophies in itself are worth playing for. Just having like a talking piece on your mantle, or that's fun in itself. But if you can do something like that for charity, especially for something like an addiction recovery process, I think that's super awesome. And I know it's something that is personally important to me for many reasons, which I won't get into, but awesome contest, always awesome for charity.
So quickly, a run through of the DraftKings format. So, just DFS in general, you have to go way back for that episode. We did in our year one, in season one, we did do a kind of a run through of what exactly DFS was. Actually, I believe Jeff was on for that episode, because what better resource? I know he's one of the go-tos that I always go for that. But anyway, so how it works, you pick a fantasy lineup of players, and they'll accumulate points, with scoring that we're accustomed to in season-long fantasy formats. You can pick any player available on the slate and any given week. So, you're not, that's, again, the daily aspect of fantasy. It's just for one contest, one game. So $40,000 budget, and each player is given certain salary. And you have to fit any combination of players in there into a starting lineup: one quarterback, two running back, three wide receiver, one tight end, one flex, and then one team defense. $40,000 budget. On just for context, on the slate this week, $7,400 is the highest price for any player, and then the minimum is different per position. I believe it's $4,000 at quarterback and running back, is it 3,000 at wide receiver and then 2,500 at tight end? And then defense, I guess I've seen some as low as 2,000 before.
Yes, the Jets have been 2,000 almost all season long.
Sorry, Alessandro. Oh, wait, no, you're not a Jets fan anymore. Never mind. How about the Seahawks?
Yeah, no, the Seahawks are actually good. I've seen between 3 and 3.5.
All right, so anyway. Yeah, and I mean, sometimes we'll see. This week, the highest defense is 4,200. And again, we're talking specifically this, and this contest is just a Thursday slate, so just the three games on Thanksgiving. So, Jared, just, I guess, general strategy. How are you approaching the lineup build with this slate? And I mean, you know, having three games to a day, not a little unusual. Do you adjust your normal strategy when you do that?
Yeah, so this week, I think, is a little bit different because a lot of times when we're talking DFS in terms of Sunday, where there's, you know, anywhere from 10 to 12 games on a slate, you're looking to stack the highest scoring game. And on a three-game slate, I think it's a little bit different. I don't think you have to necessarily stack because, I mean, it's just a little bit different with a three-game slate. But, you know, stacking is always in play, so that's something that I encourage a lot of people to do is stacking. One of the biggest things for me on this slate, I have actually submitted in a lineup, but I know I'm going to have to edit it because the big news for me is the status of DeAndre Swift and what to do if he plays and what to do if he doesn't play. So I'm interested in him if he plays. Obviously, a guy that has, you know, a significant floor of 5 targets. He's their lead back, and, you know, they like him. He's a rookie. So I'm interested in him if he plays. And if he doesn't, I don't think I get to either Adrian Peterson or Kerryon Johnson. But, you know, it's kind of early yet. So that's the big news for me on this slate.
And okay, we'll start there at running back. So for context, Swift is 6,500. It's the second highest running back on the slate. And then likewise, so the you know, Peterson and Johnson are both close to minimum. But I think the fact that they're close to minimum and not minimum is key. And I have a feeling we're going to talk about that later. So just for context, I'm running back. So Swift's at 6,500. Ezekiel Elliott is the highest at 6,800. Then you also have James Conner at 6,200. Gibson at 6,000. So those three in that 6,000 or plus range is, you know, if Swift's healthy, you're saying you'd target him above the other four?
I have Zeke number one. I think Zeke is just too cheap for the volume that he gets, you know, only being 6,800. Now, Zeke hasn't had the greatest year, but at times he was, you know, 8,000, 9,000 range. And he catches the ball as well. He had a good game against the Vikings. It's kind of a coming out party against my Vikings. I wasn't too happy about it. But now that we have Dalton back, that actually gives a little bit of a boost to Elliott because their offense just isn't so crappy. You know, they actually move the ball now with Dalton.
We can joke about Dalton and his playoff record all we want, but I mean, he's been in enough playoff games. Like, he's had winning seasons. He knows how to win games and lead offenses. And, you know, you can't really say that for anyone else they've put out there.
I'll just say this. There's no way I'm not playing Zeke Elliott this week.
So yeah, kind of the almost the locked in, knowing that it's going to be chalk, which, yeah, that term for the play that everyone's going to be. But you do it knowing that everyone else is going to do it, and if you don't, you're going to regret not, because you're going to need that to catch up. It's not, and you know, I was a little surprised he wasn't the highest priced skill position player. Obviously, the, you know, I kind of expected the, you know, the quarterback in particular, who was the highest price. It makes sense that they are the highest priced quarterback and highest priced player overall, but I'm a little surprised Zeke isn't higher than, say, Terry McLaurin at 7,000, just to compare quickly between the two highest priced players.
And one thing that I kind of look at as like a target is like a player that's 3 times his salary. So if you take, what, Ezekiel Elliott says 6,800, you times that by 3, you're looking for like 19.5 points. And I mean, I just don't see how he doesn't get 19.5 points. Granted, Washington's run defense is good, but Zeke is going to touch the ball at least 25 times in this game, and I just don't see how there's a way to get away from it.
I do. All right, throw it in. DFS is my thing, and so I have a showdown coming up soon. I actually did the Thanksgiving one for Washington football and Dallas. I don't do the normal games. I don't do the classic games. We have to pick the 50,000 with the whole slot players. I do the showdown games. So you get five players and you pick. You still got the money. I think it's a lot less. I think it's like 25. So they've just the money accordingly, but I still do it. So for you get one captain that's going to earn 1.5 points per everything, and then you got four flex players. And the guy I chose was Terry McLaurin for my captain. And then I chose Washington football team defense, CeeDee Lamb. I was losing money at this point, so I had to choose Corey Sims, Alex Smith, and I did Tony Pollard. Because I've been looking at Pollard's snap count, and he's been getting a lot more snaps and a lot more running ability, and he's been doing a lot more. He's gotten a lot more fantasy points over the last couple games ever since Zeke had those fumbles. And who knows, maybe that's what's really going to happen, or maybe, you know, Zeke's like, all right, we got Dalton back, we're going to run Zeke more. But irregardless, Pollard's going to get some snaps because he proved to them that he is a guy that they could trust. And so I do have some faith in Pollard.
I'm going to call on cause and consequence there. I mean, fumble's one thing, but I mean, you were talking right before the bye, right? Or that week before, certainly that game right before the bye, we weren't even sure Elliott was playing. Like, he was hurt. And it showed when he played that he clearly wasn't 100%. It definitely looks like he's over that injury. So I do expect Pollard to, while remain part of the offense, not eat into, you know, Elliott's workload. So I tend to agree with the Yeti over here. Maybe I just don't want to get eaten, but you know, Zeke's gonna get fed, so feed him in my lineups.
Alex has actually got a really good point, and Tony Pollard for the past 2 years has actually been one of the most efficient running backs, but because he plays behind Zeke, nobody knows about it. So I get it, but I still don't think they're ready to get away from Zeke.
Won't get away from Zeke, but yeah. I think that they could go dual head monster with Zeke and Pollard.
Right. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that because Pollard has actually been super efficient in his touches the past 2 years. So it's actually a really good point.
Is it crazy to play both in a lineup? And you know, I think showdown probably definitely you could, just because you are limited to the one game. I think that's definitely not out of the question. Probably actually common, but even in like a 3-game slate, Jared, would you consider a lineup with both?
It's not crazy. I mean, obviously, when you're playing a 3-game slate, there's not too many people that are playing 3-game slate cash. We're talking tournaments. And to get yourself to be unique and different, it's something you could absolutely do. If Tony Pollard touches the ball 15 times and scores a touchdown and has, you know, 50, 60 yards, and Zeke has 100-plus and a touchdown, they're both going to be in the winning lineup.
I mean, just put in perspective, the last couple of games, Zeke this past game when they won against the Vikings, Zeke had 21 carries for 103 yards, no touchdowns. But Pollard had 5 carries for 60 yards and 1 touchdown. And Zeke had receiving yards. Pollard did not have receiving yards, but he did line up outside. And I know I'm using a different format here, but I was looking at ESPN for the points scored. And just I'm just going to do the last game or last 3 games. Pollard against Philly scored 8.4, against Pitt 6.8, and against Minnesota he scored 12 points, which is, you know, it's not eye glaring, but it still gets the, you know, the job done. Zeke over that time, 8.3 against Philly, so about 2-point difference. Against Pitt, 8.9, so a 0.5 point difference, and 19.4, so a 7-point difference.
And another thing that I'd just like to talk about on that too as well is look at the other running backs on this slate. If Swift is out, then you're looking at Peterson and Kerryon Johnson, and neither one of them are very exciting. And you can look at Baltimore. Baltimore is down to Gus Edwards with Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins both on the COVID list. You could just have Gus Edwards, who's at 4K. But, you know, Gus Edwards doesn't have any kind of PPR upside. So unless he scores a touchdown and has like 70 yards, it's going to be hard for him to get there. And he's going to be popular because he's cheap and he's the only running back. And then if you look at Washington, Washington gets a good matchup. You know, obviously Dallas's defense isn't good at anything. But J.D. McKissick is pretty much completely receiving dependent. There was two games in a row where he had 15 plus targets, and I actually played him on one of those weeks, and it was beneficial. But if he doesn't get those targets, like last week where he only had four targets, it's going to be hard for him to get there. Now you look at Antonio Gibson, who is 6K. He's a pretty solid player. I wouldn't fault anyone for playing him. But the rest of the running backs on the slate aren't all that great. And if you look at Connor against Baltimore, another good defense. So it might sound crazy to want to play two Dallas running backs, but I wouldn't be opposed to it in a GPP lineup.
Well, let me ask you both this. Bryce Love is slated to return from IR this week. He will play in this game that they are saying he is practicing right now. He did come back and practice Monday. They said that it is possible that he plays. Would you guys, let's say you had to choose a Washington running back, would you, besides Gibson, would you do McKissick, Barber, or Bryce Love?
Not Bryce Love. I think, unfortunately, without knowing any type of role, I mean, he could play and play 0% on offense, and it's all just special teams just to get him into it. And Barber and Love are the same price, and you get much less risk because Barber's at least, okay, he's got some goal line carries. It's not much, but, you know, for both at the minimum price of 4,000, truthfully, Alessandro, I'd rather just play Pollard, or I'd rather play Gus Edwards as well. Maybe Jared isn't as high on Edwards there, but I definitely say McKissick. Sorry, I should answer the question. McKissick for me.
I think the reason why I don't like Edwards, and he was in one of my original builds, but the reason why I don't like him is he has no PPR upside, and that's big on DraftKings when you're talking full point PPR. So he's going to need at least 70 yards and a touchdown to get to 13 points. So that's a big difference. The reason why I would play McKissick over Love is because Alex Smith likes to check the ball down a lot. We've seen weeks where McKissick has 15 targets, and if he catches eight balls and goes for 50 yards, that's 13 points right there. Big difference on DraftKings is the PPR.
And if you're playing Elliott, that actually correlates well, because it's like last week, the problem, McKissick didn't get many targets because Washington was winning for most of that game, or at least leading for a large portion of that game. So if you expect to play Elliott and have him go off, and you know, expect the Cowboys to be up or at least make it a close enough contest that they're going to have to pass a lot, McKissick's going to be out in the field more. And again, maybe not getting 12, 13 targets like a couple games there, but still probably should get more than three. So yeah, the base. The one thing about Edwards, though, he has three catches on the year. Horrible, right? But they came in both the games that Mark Ingram missed. And now with Dobbins, who has been the main pass catching back, Justice Hill might immediately jump into that role for a little bit. But I do expect Gus Edwards is at least going to start seeing a few more targets, maybe get three, four targets. I know that's not huge, but if he can catch enough of them, that gives him at least a little bit more of the upside, or at least a little bit more of the floor there. But you're right. You're going to bank it on the touchdown. He had 87 yards and a touchdown against the Steelers last time. 16 carries. So, you know, with Dobbins and Ingram out, I don't know that maybe he gets to 20 carries. Is a little bit more, a little bit better of a chance, but maybe you're right. Maybe because if he's already maxed that out, and you know you're just getting to the three, how much did he score there? 14.7, yeah. So you know you're just reaching over that times three, which would be 12 at the 4K. So yeah, maybe you're talking me out of Edwards, because I alluded to right at the start the 4K, but
I looked at him on Monday when our charity tournament went live, and I was like, all right, I'm going to submit my lineup here. I'm just going to get a base set of what I'm thinking. And I'm like, Gus Edwards, 4K all day long. And then I was like, well, he's got to have a hard time getting to his value.
And maybe this is, and again, positional minimum differences, right? If running back at the same minimal as wide receiver, and he was down at 3,500, then it's a different story. Then you think for sure you can get to double-digit points and get there. But yeah, the 4K minimum, you know, minimum price doesn't always mean the same thing at every position, as we see here in DraftKings. Pollard the better play then at 4K than Edwards, at least in more lineups?
It's hard to tell. They're pretty much in the same standpoint. Gus Edwards is going to get a lot more volume. I think Pollard has more upside, but I also like Ezekiel Elliott so much that I probably won't be in that range, and if I am, it's probably going to be McKissick for a little bit more.
Yeah, again, McKissick there at 5,100. So again, only a 1,000 more. You can maybe save 1,000 at receiver, at tight end, at quarterback. There's ways to find value, and pay up at running back. It seems like that's the common DFS refrain on bigger main Sunday slates, but it seems like it's the case again.
All right, so for quarterbacks, who do you guys like? Because I have two in mind, and that's about it.
It's basically at the either extreme for me. I think, pay up for the most expensive player on this slate in Deshaun Watson. Love the matchup indoors against the Lions and that defense. And Watson has the natural floor with his rushing ability, and the ceiling with his rushing ability in the red zone. And, good, decent... the stack options aren't too pricey either, I find. Again, you mentioned maybe not so much prioritizing stacking. It almost seems like it's bound to happen. Like, you can only go from so many different games. You got to at least have one stack somewhere. And it seems like there's good natural ways to do it this week without it being too pricey. So I like paying up for Watson the most. If I had to pick someone else, it's two. It's either Dalton or Smith. 5,600 for Dalton, 5,400 for Smith. Thinking that if that game gets to a shootout, you want really either side. I think maybe better touchdown upside with Dalton for 200 more seems better. So it's probably two for me as well. Watson and Dalton. Alessandro, what do you think for quarterbacks? Anyone you have in mind?
So I like Watson and Stafford because Houston and Detroit, as far as rushing goes, rank first, dead last, and third to dead last, Houston being dead last. So it definitely helps Watson's rushing ability. And then in passing, they rank in the Lions rank in the bottom half, seventh worst, and then three behind them are the Texans. So it's going to be a shootout between those two. So I like both of them. Don't like Lamar Jackson because... for the price, for what I think it's going to happen in this game, because Lamar Jackson's going to get shut down by the Pittsburgh defense as far as rushing, and there goes his rushing floor. And Big Ben, I mean, I get it. He's got the weapons, and he's got the arm strength and all that, but with that front line being the way it is, with the moves they've made, Big Ben's going to have a tough time. I mean, we saw that last time these two guys matched up, so I want to stay away from them. So I'm pretty much going to go Alex Smith or Andy Dalton, just because those two, it's guaranteed to be a shootout game because those guys, their defenses have been getting better, but the wide receivers have been better. So they're on pace for each other, and you're probably like, well, why don't you just pick Stafford or Deshaun Watson? Because they're a lot cheaper, and I could splurge somewhere else. So I'm still getting a really good quarterback that could give me the points, but I could splurge from wide receivers, say do an Andy Dalton, Terry McLaurin stacks, so that way I could pay for it, or do a, not Andy Dalton, Alex Smith, excuse me, and Terry McLaurin stack, or do a CD and Andy Dalton stack, or even an Andy Dalton Zeke stack, just something like that. So that way I'm not paying for much for a quarterback, but I'm still getting a good quarterback with a pretty good player.
I actually, you made it sound like you messed up, but I actually love that opposite stack, Dalton and McLaurin, knowing that McLaurin's just going to see targets no matter what, and no matter who Dalton throws to, it's going to help Dalton. So you can almost cross stack them and not stack Dalton with his own receiver with McLaurin instead. I know it's a bit pricier with, again, McLaurin at 7,000. But Jared, interesting to hear from you. Where are you thinking at quarterback?
Yeah, so I have actually three quarterbacks on my list, and I'll talk about all three and why. Number one is Deshaun Watson, just because his stack is cheap. Brandon Cooks is projected for almost 16 DraftKings points at 5,300. So he's above that 3X that we talked about, or right at it in a projection standpoint. So I like Watson. He's got the rushing upside. He's looked phenomenal these past couple of weeks. I played a bunch of him last week at 6% ownership, so that fared out pretty well. A lot of people shied away from the Patriots defense, but they're without a lot of their top corners. I think Stephon Gilmore was out last week, and it was just an easy one for me to get Watson. Next up, I have Lamar Jackson, and it kind of makes me sick to say this, but Lamar Jackson, is actually had one of his better games of the year against against Pittsburgh. He only scored 19 points, and Lamar Jackson's been awful all year, so don't get me wrong. But his stack is cheap. I've said Hollywood Brown is been awful all year. Me and my buddy talked for a long time about how Hollywood Brown deserves to be 4,500, and he was 6,500, 6,000, 5,800. Now he's 4,700. So he's been bad, don't get me wrong, but he's at a price point now where he could be viable, and I'm kind of interested. And the last quarterback that I wanted to talk about was Stafford, just as kind of a run it back. So you could get to Cooks and you could get to Fuller, then you could get to Stafford and like a Marvin Jones Jr. I heard today that Galladay is not expected to play, so that kind of hurts his value. But then, you know, Hockenson's a decent tight end as well. So,
all right. So I think, again, a lot of consensus is Watson is worth paying up for. Again, I think there's a reason he's the highest priced player on the slate. But there are options to pivot off. I think, I mean, we went through basically every quarterback except Ben Roethlisberger. And I think I was going to say this about Jackson as well. To get from Jackson to Watson, it's only an extra $600, $800 extra for Roethlisberger. And I mean, we were talking about moving up from, you know, easily from Edwards and Pollard to McKissick for $1,000, right? So I thought that was also kind of, that's my feeling was either go for Watson or someone that's below 6K. I didn't mention Stafford, but yeah, I think the questionable tag kind of scares you away. But again, dome game indoors, and it's not like the Texans defense has been that great. Prefer Watson having his, at least not a full complement of weapons. I mean, both teams dealing with injuries, but the lack of the true top guy in Detroit maybe hurting Stafford a little bit. But again, 5,800, it's not a bad price. I mean, he's only 200 more than Dalton, so it seems, you know, there's ranges. There's however you want to price quarterback this week, seems like they've got a range for it.
For whatever reason, Detroit just seems to play good on Thanksgiving. I don't know what it is. I don't know what kind of narrative you want to use, but they always play good on Thanksgiving.
Let's dive into wide receiver a little more. So I've already mentioned, referenced a few times, Terry McLaurin at 7,000 is the highest receiver on the slate. Next is Will Fuller, 6,400. So actually, let's start there. The difference between the top two. Do you think, is there an edge to be had with either of those two? Or just knowing compared to, you know, Ezekiel, it's right in the middle of that price range. Are both of them too high? Or what are you thinking, Jared?
For me, it's McLaurin, just because you can get to Brandon Cooks at 5,300, who isn't the same receiver as Fuller, but their projections are within a point. So I'd rather pay down for the guy that's 5,300 than the guy that's 6,400. So that's a big difference for me. McLaurin is just, he's the guy, you know, he's the one talent that Washington has right now. He's the guy that's going to get, you know, he's got a 10 target floor pretty much guaranteed locked in, and Dallas can't defend. So for me, it was easy. It was McLaurin for me.
Alessandro, any preference between the two? I think you already mentioned you wanted McLaurin as your captain. So I guess, but again, that was the one game alone. Does that change here with Fuller, or are you still sticking with McLaurin for 600 more?
I'm still sticking with McLaurin for 600 more. I mean, Fuller, this is my own personal disdain from him from last year. He was a little bit hot and cold for me. So I tend to stay away from Fuller. But McLaurin against Cowboys defense, I mean, I like that matchup.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a defense that's been vulnerable to a lot of production. And I guess with McLaurin, you look at the targets, it's never lower than 7, really. That was last week, a couple weeks ago as well. Against Dallas, it was 11. So I guess that was Kyle Allen. So who knows if Smith targets him, quite to that extent. He's had a couple double-digit target games, Kyle Allen and Haskins, not yet with Smith. So maybe a slight concern there. It does seem like, he's pretty safe. Much safer than Will Fuller, certainly, but I don't mind the drop in in 600. Like, I think that's because I do see the upside with Fuller being able to be the number one wide receiver this week. And you know, you could say that for the next two as well. Deontay Johnson at 6,200 and Chase Claypool at 6,100. I kind of like that price range. Those low 6,000s for really all three of them. A little hesitant on McLaurin just being that extra bump up. Although again, probably the safest. I don't know that his ceiling's higher than either Fuller, Johnson, or Claypool. Not significantly enough to hinder the 600. So I'll actually disagree with you both and go Fuller. But I also think that, you know, the argument to be made that they're both worth playing. There are builds to be made where you pay up, you know, is it possible to get all three, McLaurin, Fuller, and Elliott, and try and, you know, get value, go with one of the lower quarterbacks and you know, really cheap at tight end, a cheap defense?
So talking about the three Steelers wide receivers, for the last 3 weeks, and the going for two articles, I've wrote up Deontay Johnson because he's a target vacuum. But this week is different, and he gets Jimmy Smith, who's one of the best cornerbacks in the league. So Jimmy Smith is gonna cover Deontay Johnson, and it's not a good matchup. So I'm actually getting away from Deontay Johnson, even though I've talked him up for weeks, and I'm actually going to Claypool this week just because he is the bigger guy and he scores more touchdowns. He's the big play threat. Deontay Johnson is more of the check down guy.
Getting a lot of targets, and maybe he does accumulate enough receptions, but not enough yards beyond that, and no touchdown unless he's scoring long to necessarily be able to get that the ceiling you're after here, especially between the two. Because again, 6,200, you need him to score 18, close to 20 points. And if he catches like 10, 11 passes, I guess if he does catch 10, you're still hoping for close to 100 yards. So it can't be all checkdowns and no yards after that. And again, only a $100 difference. So it really is pick your lane. Again, potentially both in play. Although, we're saying kind of avoid. Maybe that matchup's a bit more defensive than some of the others. So not necessarily the game you want to really pick both receivers in.
You could absolutely play two of them. But if you're playing two of them, at that point, you might as well just try and squeeze Big Ben in there as well and stack it. But it's not Juju. Juju's not even on my list. And so he'll probably have two touchdowns and 150 yards. But for me, it's Claypool, and more interested in Johnson than Juju.
I mean, Juju dealing with the injury, he's only 5,900, so just 200 cheaper than Claypool, 300 cheaper than Johnson. So it's not like, they're giving you much of an injury discount there. Alessandro, we talked about the five highest price players that are playing. I guess Galladay's in there too at 6,000, but ignore him. What do you think about them? McLaurin, Fuller, Johnson, Claypool, Juju. Any names that really stand out to you? Is it still McLaurin at the top?
Actually, I wouldn't mind Claypool. Mabletron has been doing something really good lately. A little shout out to your Canadian-ness over there. He's been on a real nice streak, even for a rookie. And we've seen the disappearance of Juju just a little bit. I mean, ever since Claypool has found his footing in the NFL, Juju's really not been that guy. I mean, probably because he's been absorbing most of the CBs and safeties, so they've been worried about him, and now they have to worry about Claypool, and so we're kind of seeing the remittance of Juju back into the NFL. But Claypool has been on a little bit of a tear lately, and I like him better than Deontay Johnson or Juju. But can I have both Claypool and Terry McLaurin?
I mean, there's definitely ways to, yeah, you definitely fit that in your lineup for sure. There's ways to pay up.
Yeah. My current lineup has both of them in there. Just wanted to point that out.
I've got Fuller and Claypool, just to point that out. So again, we're similar thinking there. Personally, though, for the idea of two receivers, I actually prefer that with Fuller and Cooks, knowing that they're probably the top two targets with Cobb out. Kiki Kuti emerged finally. He found him. But I get the sense a good stack there. Again, really hyping up Watson, Fuller, and Jared. I mean, you already mentioned you prefer Cooks over Fuller anyway at 5,300. I do think that's a great price. Especially identifying, when I first looked at it, I looked at quarterbacks and it's like, okay, yeah, Watson's probably the play. And then what are his stack options? And I saw Cooks at 53 and it was instantly like, yeah, that's a good price to plug in there right away.
Yeah. He's too cheap for his volume that he's getting. We can go into like the mid tier. We'll start with, we both like cooks, but is there anybody else that you like below that?
Well, just about, I mean, a 5,400 just above, there's CeeDee Lamb, especially for your, you know, do you like the Dallas offense and like that, you know, he's really emerged as at least every week, one or two on the target totem pole. It might be number one on a week, might be number two, but it still seems like that's sustainable enough, especially with Dalton. So both of those, 5,400, 5,300, that's a price to dive right in there. Preferred player price point, as I always point out.
In the mid-range, I really don't like a whole lot. I mentioned Hollywood Brown just because he's cheap enough to where you can actually play him. I haven't played him all year, but and he hasn't looked good. But if you're trying to take down a tournament like the one we're playing in, the charity tournament, you can get a guy at, you know, 5 or 10% ownership or less than that. I don't know how many people are playing. But in the charity tournament, playing a guy like Marquise Brown could have you take it down in a winner-take-all tournament.
Alessandro, what about that price range, right? You know, either just above 5,000 or just below in the 4,000 range.
I go below. I mean, no. I mean, you don't have that bad players below. It's just that you're not, don't expect many points. So I guess I'll take the above. I mean, like you said, I'm not crazy about Malcolm Brown. I mean, he shined his rookie year, but now he's like slowly fading away. Sneed's not bad. You got Hall and Amendola, but, I mean, they're both questionable, and they haven't been really producing on a whole scale. You got Dez, but Dez just coming back into the NFL. Michael Gallup seems to have been gone from the Cowboys' offense, at least this year, because he was Dak's favorite target. So I'll take the above.
If you wanted to get a value guy, I saw – McLaurin was listed as questionable with an ankle injury. I mean, it sounds like he's going to play, but for whatever reason, if he doesn't, I think you can look at a guy like Sims Jr., 3,200.
I'm okay with either Sims, really. Cam was getting Cam Sims get a couple targets, an increase in targets a couple games ago, 4 and 5, back to 2 last week. But again, a game where they were leading more of it, so not necessarily the. I mean, I guess 3 targets for Sims, so it's kind of the same issue. But again, if we expect Washington to be more of a shootout or more of a game where they're needing to pass more, both are probably good plays, even with McLaurin in the lineup. It's probably not even independent of him, but just, 3,300, 3,200. Like Alessandro was saying, you get into that $4,000 range, Sneed, and then, you know, the injured Lions, Dez Bryant against the Steelers defense. That might be tricky. Even Michael Gallup's been pretty disappointing. 3,500, they're almost baiting you in with that price. I mean, you probably know this better than us, Jared. Have you seen Michael Gallup at 3,500 before? I know it, slates like this are a little different price, but...
I remember seeing Michael Gallup in the 6K range to start the year, 6,300. So, yeah, he's fallen off a cliff. And, it's Cooper... And it's Lamb, and it's Dalton Schultz before it's Michael Gallup.
Which actually might be our transition to tight end. I mean, is there anyone cheaper than either the Sims at 32? Like, are there any of the minimum $3,000 players that either you feel like mentioning?
I mean, if you're trying to win $1 million, I don't know what that Devonner's price is for Baltimore, but...
Duvernay's 3,000, yeah.
I wouldn't play him, but, I mean, if you're trying to take down a Thanksgiving slate on 3 games and hope a guy catches 2 touchdowns, he'd be the one.
Hint, hint. James Washington, if Juju's out, that might be an interesting play as well. And that's one where you could play that, and if Juju's in, you can quickly pivot to Duvernay, because thinking that, okay, with, you know, Gus Edwards isn't going to catch many passes, so that means more passes to the wide receivers. I know Dez Bryant coming in probably takes away from Duvernay, and Willie Snead still being there, but those two are probably I was probably going to gravitate towards those two the most. Alessandro? Anyone there, or you just prefer to pay up at wide receiver this week?
Like I said, I pay little at quarterback so I could pay up at wide receiver and get that nice stack. That's why I'm not going for Deshaun or anyone like that. I just go for like Andy Dalton or Alex Smith because they're cheap and I could pay up at quarterback and really, I mean, wide receiver and really shine, because
I need him to. And I'd rather trust the wide receiver get the job done because a quarterback could fail and a wide receiver can still shine because the quarterback will get interceptions and all that. And I know a wide receiver will fumble and all that, but I'm just saying you have a more of a chance of a quarterback intercepting than a wide receiver fumbling. I've seen apparently this year. So
it's funny that you say that because I had a friend of me text me the other day and he said I'm deciding whether I got the cojones to play Alex Smith or not. And he was talking about it all week. So I get it. We can start talking about tight ends. I'll take the lead here. We pretty much covered wide receivers. Like I said, I like Mark Andrews. The matchup isn't good. Pittsburgh's number one against tight ends, but Mark Andrews is literally the only thing that Lamar Jackson has to throw to right now, with Hollywood Brown being almost non-existent for half the season. And then you're talking about guys like Duvernay, and you got a backup running back. So I have interest in Andrews. Other guys that I have interest in, obviously Dalton Schultz, just because he's consistent. And the home run play, I guess, would be Eric Ebron. He's caught a touchdown in 3 out of the last 4 games and has had 6-plus targets in all 3 of them and around 4 yards in each of them as well. Baltimore's defense is good, though, so it's one of those, if he fits and you need the cap relief to get there, I wouldn't mind it at all. I'm done chasing after Logan Thomas, and that about wraps up the tight ends besides Hockenson.
I think basically the top 5 are all viable. I know Hockenson, you know, questionable tag going in. If he does play, though, I do like him as kind of one of the, you know, one of the main shows there. I mean, you know, you're a little worried about the injury. 4,700, I mean, it's only 500 away from Andrews. You only save 600 by going down to Ebron, though. So I kind of feel where it's almost one of those, you may leave tight end to be the last position in whatever you need to fit in, at least as long as it's between 5,200 and 3,800, hopefully. Then you pick whoever fits in your price range. I even like Logan Thomas at 3,500, just because it's the Dallas defense more than anything. It's the matchup. Risky to do it, risky to chase it. His best games came with Dwayne Haskins. Imagine that. So that's the one thing Dwayne Haskins did, was got the most out of Logan Thomas. No one else. So who knows about there?
I laugh every time I hear Logan Thomas's name because so many people love him and they play him every week and he's just dead to me. So
I think 2,900 for Jordan Akins. Now that it's been receivers out for Houston, I mean, their options are limited. You know, no David Johnson to pass through, and Duke Johnson's been basically a mirage. He's been out there and he's been kind of producing, but it's, you know, it's Cooks, it's Fuller, maybe now Kiki Kuti, but Akins is probably going to be one of the top 4 targets on that team. And again, really like that matchup indoors. And if we, you know, Stafford's healthy enough and Hockenson's healthy enough, expect the Lions to be able to score enough points to make it interesting. So you know, Akins at 2,900, if you're really stuck and you need to save there to you know, high stack everything else, I think that's fine too.
Yeah, he's completely fine. I mean, just look at last week. He had 87 yards on 5 catches. I mean, if you're getting a $29 or 2,900 tight end that is getting, you know, 6 targets, it's absolutely viable. But I mean, it's kind of a 1 week sample size. Like, they've been kind of switching back and forth between Fells and Atkins, and yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't hate the play. It's kind of a small volume sample for me.
I don't like any of the tight ends.
I mean, you have to play one, though. That's the thing. Like, you can't, you have to, there's a minimum start one.
Give me Schultz for the Cowboys. I know that, you know, Lamar Jackson's only weapon right now besides running the quarterback's football, Bobber, Chimeling, ding ding dong, is Mark Andrews. Hockenson's good, but with Stafford and that thumb, I don't know what's going to happen there. Ebron has been, he's been hot or cold, hit and miss this entire time. Logan Thomas, who are you? And then you got Akins and Fells, and I don't like either of them. I mean, they're good serviceable tight ends when you need a something, but if you're playing a DFS, I rather have Schultz because Schultz is he's been getting the touches and he's been getting the touchdowns, and I think that he could shine here and against that Washington defense who's been giving up a lot of points to tight ends. I think that he could really shine and do something here, so I really like him for that.
So yeah, so you're saying pay down more to that 3,800, that mid range, not looking in the 4,000s or even Andrews at 52.
No.
All right. Quickly with defenses. So Steelers are at 4,200, as mentioned. Washington against the Cowboys at 3,700. The Ravens at 3,100. And then the Cowboys at 28, Texans at 27, and the Lions at 22. I have two very clear teams in mind, but I'd like to hear from both of you. So Jared, which defense are you targeting?
The defense that I have in my lineup currently is the Washington football team, just because their defensive line is so good. And the Dallas Cowboys offensive line has not been all that great as of recent. I like the defense and running back correlation. I said I liked Ezekiel Elliott, so I think that game stays a little bit under the radar and doesn't have as much points as many people think. And I think there's sacks to be had for Washington. And the other defense that I would consider is probably the Ravens, and the Steelers are the best team in football, and no one's going to do it. So, I don't know. Defense is kind of always a wasteland for me. It's kind of like tight end, you know. You could have a game be 35-31, and there could be two defensive touchdowns. That defense didn't actually play all that great, but they scored a touchdown.
Well, one thing that Jared mentioned, you know, the wasteland of pay down. I actually like the Texans. Especially love it if Stafford doesn't play, but you know, assuming even if he plays, last week didn't look so great. I mean, they pitched a shutout, and it was the Panthers. That hasn't been a really great defense either. And I mean, you know, the Texans' defensive line might be able to mess up the plans for the Lions. And again, all it takes is a tip pass getting returned for a touchdown, and that's the highest scoring defense. And I think with that regard, you know, pay down and get the Texans at 27. Not opposed to the Steelers at 42, though, just thinking, okay, with the Ravens, if they do have a hard time running the football and you know, Lamar Jackson is forced to pass so much, more susceptible to sacks, more susceptible to interceptions if they do become one-dimensional. So not, you know, they usually don't like paying up for defense, but on such a small slate, I could stomach it at 42.
I was going to say that I like paying up for defenses as well. For this one, I would go with the Steelers, or honestly, I could pay down for this one. I would go with the Texans. Either one is here for that point. Like you said, with the Panther game, that defense has been really good, but they've had their moments and they've been shining a little bit more lately. But they're still not, you know, a scary defense overall. So who knows what's really going to happen there. The Steelers, though, they are a scary defense. Collectively, the Steelers are ranked first I have it right here. So the Steelers in the passing game are number 3. And in the rushing game, they are 4. So they are really good overall. Now, overall, they're the 4th overall in yards allowed per game this year. So I could see the Steelers smothering Pittsburgh or smothering themselves. I could see the Steelers smothering Baltimore in this game. And then the flip side here is if you want to go low so that we can spend a little bit more somewhere else, the Texans at the Lions got shut out against Carolina, and the Texans are on a better scale. While, yes, the secondary is more suspect and they've been allowing a lot of yardage on the ground game, because I mean, it's the ground game, you could just keep running the ball. The yardage situation here is that they are really good, or they're getting better. So they run to pass a lot more, but the front 7 with J.J. Watt getting to pressure and getting sacks, it's hypocrisy at its finest, but they could get the job done. And against Stafford with that injury, assuming he doesn't play because he is questionable, so we'll see what happens. He probably will play, but just for, you know, sake of argument, we just have to see what happens.
All right. I got one more point before I go, and I think you guys both made a very, very good case for the Houston Texans. If Stafford is out, they are going to be the chalk defense, and they probably should be. But for whatever reason, and I said this earlier in the podcast, for whatever reason, Detroit plays good on Thanksgiving, and they have for as long as I can remember. And it's not the most exciting narrative, but for whatever reason, they put on those ugly old school blue uniforms and they play good on Thanksgiving. But before I leave, I just wanted to say you can find more from me at goingfor2.com. I work with Geoff and Kyle over there. You can follow me on Twitter at GettyExpress2. I appreciate being a part of my first podcast. So I had a lot of fun, guys. And I'll hope to hear from you soon.
Yeah, Jared, you did good. And we really appreciate having you. So thank you very much. And of course, thank you to the listeners for listening. You can find us on Twitter at @FPC_FantasyPod. Again, check out the pinned tweet. That'll be the links needed to join the DFS contest that Jeff Lambert has put on, but also the link to donate to his to the cause he's created, the fight against addiction. So, again, appreciate everyone who's joined in on that already and donated, and will continue to do so. So, thank you very much for that. Thank you for listening. You can follow myself, Kyle Senra, at Senra Says, Alessandro Senators at @AM_Senator. Also follow Kayla Morton at NorthDakayla74. And as always, download the Full Press Coverage app, available for free on Android and Apple stores. Get access to all the written content, all of the podcasts, and, of course, access to the Full Press Radio Network. We'll return again to recap the Thursday Thanksgiving games and talk about the rest of the Week 12 preview on the next Full Press Fantasy Pod.